Father, we need your help now as we look again at this text, the word that you have preserved down through the generations for such a time as this. And so would you meet us now in the scriptures? Meet us now, Lord, and enliven and enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we might hear from you and know what you're saying and know what you mean, and then grant us grace to apply it to our lives and obey you in accordance with your will. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you all, and you might remember then as we try to bring this to a close that we have seen in verse 1, we need a new heaven and a new earth because the old heaven and the old earth were corrupted by sin. Okay? And so many people don't think about it, but that's the reason there's a new, not just a new earth, there's a new heaven because the old heaven was corrupted. Satan corrupted it. And there was war there, and God intends for us to have all things. He says, I'm making what? All things new. Isn't that great? You know, you've been in a new car. Oh, you have. You know that smell, right? That new car or put on. I don't need to take you through all that. But, you know, it's just wonderful, isn't it, when you experience something new, hadn't been used or messed up by someone else. For some of us, I mean, obviously, I had to buy a whole lot of used cars. But that ain't what I'm talking about. When I get to on the new earth, I won't be driving anything used. It's going to be all new. And it's going to be customized for you. Yeah. The Bible says that God has, you got a new name, yeah, right? And you won't find it out until you get there and he hands you your new name. Uh-huh. Isn't that good?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Good news.
Yeah, well, I can't. I would love to linger there, but we got to move on, okay? And so, a new heaven and a new earth. They both had to be cleansed and purged. We saw this symbolism in verse 2 of this holy city and New Jerusalem, right? And we learned that that is actually the people of God. But the people of God are described. You remember, the book of Revelation is about symbolism, right? Symbols and images. And so the city is a picture of stability, right? And so you've got these God, all of God's people come. They're stable now.
Yeah.
Everything is anchored now, you see? And so they're like that city. They're coming to this new earth, and they're going to be planted firmly. City has walls and boundaries, and you won't have anybody getting outside of God's boundaries on the new earth, right? Amen. So anyway, I can't say that either. So that's the holy city in New Jerusalem that's coming. And then God's people, oh my, are going to dwell with God. God is going to be with us. And just as Adam and Eve got to walk with him in the cool, you and I are going to be able to... fellowship with God for all of eternity. He's going to walk with us and talk with us, and we're going to enjoy life forever. This is wonderful. I'd love to stay there too. But then we saw that it's not going to be so pleasant for everybody. That's good news. But Jesus' coming is not going to be good news for everybody. It's going to be some of the worst news that some people have ever gotten. They're about to lose hope forever. They're about to be sent to a place that is designed by God to hurt forever. This is the most awful tragedy. But people are racing to get there. The Bible says hell has widened the jaws of its mouth. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, but hell has had to widen its jaws because so many people are racing to get there. And so God is going to judge unbelievers, the Bible says, with varying degrees. Punishment. Luke gives this description of some people being beaten with what? More stripes than others. And so, as awful as hell is going to be for everyone, some are going to have it worse than others. Mm-hmm.
It's like, see, our penal system tries to emulate that, right? We got, what do you call them? You got these secluded areas, and, you know, they try to provide harsher punishment for the worst criminals. That's the way, that's God's design. There's going to be more severe punishment for some than others. As awful as hell is going to be in and of itself. Why? Because God is a just God.
Yes, he is.
But on the other end of the spectrum, God is going to judge believers with varying degrees of rewards. Right? And I can't cover all. Y'all know we've covered all that. And reward is wonderful. But you can't think of reward like we do now. Everybody in heaven is going to be joyful and filled. We're going to really be filled with the joy of the Lord then. And so even though we'll have different rewards, I won't be jealous of yours, and you won't be jealous. Matter of fact, I'm going to be happy for you to have yours. And you're going to be happy for me to have mine, because we won't think like we think today. I'm not competing with you, and you're not competing with me. Isn't that good? Yeah. And so God is going to reward us. All of these things that you think nobody sees that you're doing in the name of the Lord, he sees it. Not one thing. How does Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the labor of the Lord, for your labor in Christ, what? Is not in vain. He sees it, and he knows it, and he will remember you. Matter of fact, the Bible says that when you die, your works go ahead of you.
Amen.
And Jesus said, really, so many of us are concerned about Social Security and pensions and all that. I mean, rightfully so. But Jesus says you really need to be more concerned about storing up what? Treasures in heaven, where neither rust destroy nor moth destroy, eats into it, or thieves break in and steal, right? So this is going to be wonderful. This is our future. And we've covered that over the past 4 weeks or so. And so let's just, with that in mind, let's remember where we started. We saw that in these five verses, we took a look at what John saw in verses 1 and 2. We took a look at what John heard in verse 3. And last week we started to look at what God did. And what John saw was a new heaven and a new earth filled with new people that are ready to live with Christ forever, right? And what he heard was, he heard that God is going to be dwelling with his people on the new earth, what? Forever. Forever, forever, forever. And then last week we began to see what God did. He is acting in the future in judgment and punishment toward those who do not believe, and he's acting with reward toward those who do. And so finally today then, I want to look at this last point of what God did. And when I use that terminology, this is what he's going to do. You see, a lot of times when you read the scriptures, it speaks of events that are past, because from God, God knows the what? Beginning, right? Or the end from the beginning. Either way, God knows it in both directions. Amen. So God can speak about the future as in the present, because to him it's already done. Amen. Right? Amen. And so when Ephesians says we are already seated with Christ in what? Amen. Heavenly places, it's a done deal. Right? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're good?
Amen.
And so in this sense then, we're going to look at what God did. And he does it for his glory. But if you're a Christian, he does it for your good. Isn't this a good God?
Yes, it is.
For his glory and for our good. That's the reason we can be confident that God calls us what? All things to work together for good to those that what? Love him, and those that are called according to his purpose. What? He's working for my good?
And
you have to personalize that. You know your secret sins better than me.
Yeah.
I know mine better than you. And I still find myself at this place of blessing. God has brought me to Christ. I've been saved, and my future is secure. Sinner, as John Newton said, this is nothing less than amazing grace. For I know what kind of wretch I was. Right? He's doing it for His glory, for our good. Let's look at this real quick. You ready? The fact is that when you think about what's going on in the world and in the earth today, there is so much that causes grief and sadness and pain and agony and misery, right? And in essence, you can think of it this way. You remember Brother Billy was talking about a little of this morning in Bible study. When God delivered Israel out of Egypt, brought them there to the mountain, and He gave them what you and I would refer to as the Ten Commandments, right? And you know those first four, you'll have no other God before me, right? You'll make no carven images for yourself. You'll not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Those four commandments were designed for us to love God. And when you, as a Christian, when you see people dishonoring God, the blasphemies that go on, there's so many things that just utterly dishonor God, that ought to bring sadness and grief to your Jesus. When you remember when Jesus went to the temple there, what is his heart was broke. He couldn't believe that they had turned the house of prayer into a commercial place of just simply making money, right? His heart was broken. And then when he had to leave Jerusalem, you know, he looked out over Jerusalem and wept, right?
Yeah.
And so it ought to grieve our hearts. There's so much in the world that brings grief and sadness when we see God dishonored. But then you see those last six commandments there, right? Honor your father and mother. Not lie, not steal, not murder, you know, adultery. What's the point? Then that says that you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you see what the awful atrocities that people commit against other people who are made in the image. Every human being is created in what? Yeah. The image of God.
Yeah.
Regardless of what they've done to me. And there's some awful things that have been done to people. And God, look at Christ. There He is.
Yeah.
Being crucified. For doing what? Nothing wrong. And yet He says what? Father, forgive them. What? And you and I hold on to these issues rather than letting it grieve our hearts that's in me, that bitterness is in me. And the Bible would say to me, that bitterness is going to kill you, really. Bitterness and worry. Did you know this? It rots the bone. That's the major cause of cancer in our society, in the world.
Yeah.
Worry and bitterness rots the bone. The bone is the blood, is the factory of the blood cells.
Yeah.
And God says, don't do that because you're rotting your bones.
Yeah.
And we do it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Can't help myself. What?
Yeah.
You know, come on.
Yeah.
Or else we'll rename it. I'm just concerned. But it's just so much that brings grief, right? And sadness. And so the wonderful thing is that you and I don't have to look forward to that. Isn't that good? That's not our future. God is going to bring eternal comfort and peace in the new earth. This is one of the most tremendous truths that you find here. You see verse 4 there? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You remember, this is a prophetic book and it's filled with what? Imagery. And so the imagery there is for you to literally see God's going to take away the things that cause pain. Isn't that good? Not only take away the pain, but take away what? The things that cause the pain. Woo! That's wonderful. You see, you and I get comforted now. in pain. But the pain doesn't necessarily what?
Amen.
Go away. It's
Amen.
Still here.
Yeah.
So that God's plan is for us to experience a little bit of heaven what? Now. So he wants us to know what comfort is right now. Jesus said, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to what? Send you a comforter. Right? So that you can have some comfort when? Now. But it gets better than this, you see? But you at least have some of heaven with you now. It's good? Yeah. So he's going to wipe away every tear. And you remember 2 Corinthians 1 is so encouraging. Paul there writing to the church, and he said that God is the Father of all mercies, right? And the God of what? All comfort. What? All comfort. He can comfort you in anything. This is absolutely amazing. God can meet you where you are right now and bring you comfort and not even have to change the situation.
Amen.
Didn't Paul have to learn that? Paul was praying for that thorn. Lord, change the situation. Take this thorn out of my life. Jesus says, no, Paul. What? My grace. You can handle a whole lot more than you think.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Now look at that. God didn't change a thing. And Paul said, well, I guess I might as well rejoice then.
Yeah.
I might as well rejoice in my weaknesses and in my problems because when I've learned something here. When I am what? Weak, then I'm strong. Nothing changed but his attitude. But he heard from God. And so that's the Christian. We got a renewed mind, and so we want truth. You'll know what? The truth, and the truth sets you free because so many times our problems are in our thinking. That doesn't deny the issues around us, but I can be free and at peace, right?
Amen.
In my miserable situation. That's just a little bit. I just get a little taste of it right now. And God, it's so good, so good. But then we're going to experience it fully. And then he goes on to say that... you might remember, you see how the next, right after that, he says he's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes and death shall be no more. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he threw death in right after him saying that he's going to take away, that he's going to wipe away every tear from their eye? You think about the whole process. When, you remember in the Garden of Eden, God has made paradise and everything's wonderful, right? Put Adam in there and says, Adam, this is your place. You got everything here you need. Just enjoy your life. Just what? Stay away from this one tree.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, the Bible never says there was anything wrong with
Amen.
The tree.
Amen.
All the Bible says is that God said, Adam, you got all kind of trees here. You and I can't imagine how long it would have taken Adam to enjoy the Garden of Eden. But Satan, right, got involved in that. But God had warned Adam, right, that you can eat from any of the trees in the garden, but you shall not eat from the tree of what? The knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat, what? You shall surely, what? Die. That was a promise and it was a warning. So death was promised at the very beginning if Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Now, you also know that death was experienced, right? Death was they disobeyed God and they died in ways that they didn't even understand up to that point. They died both spiritually and they were going to die physically. But the spiritual death was so traumatic. You and I have never, we've been born again, so we understand some of the life. But you imagine having been given life in the beginning and then go to death. And everybody born after Adam, right, has known this spiritual death. And eventually that's the reason we have funerals, because as one commentator said, it's one for one. You won't miss your appointment with death. Regardless of how many pills you take, how many gyms you visit, all of that. It's one for one. You're born, and you will have that appointment. Now, we ought to do everything. Do your best to stay healthy. But we don't think like the world. I don't even, who would want to live here that long? Right? But come on, Christian, we've got to use your renewed mind.
Yeah.
Think of what you would look like after 500 years. Could you imagine looking in the mirror after 500 years of this? Man. Thank God. But death was experienced, right? Romans 5. Death came into the world, what? Through one man. And death through sin. So that death has spread to what? All because all sinned. So we all have experienced both spiritual death and we will experience physical death. That's one of the reasons that right after him saying, God is going to wipe away the tears from their eyes, he goes right away to death. So not only was death experienced, but death is an enemy. God did not have death in the plan when he put Adam in the... Don't misunderstand me. God was not caught by surprise. I'm just saying that the paradise was made for Adam to live, not to die. That he caused that. That wasn't God. That wasn't God's doing, right? So that death is an enemy. And you remember how 1 Corinthians 15 says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is an enemy, both to God and to you and me. And so that's a part of the reasons that there's such grief at funerals, is because you know that was not God's original plan. Thank God that there's good hope.
Amen.
If the person that died is a Christian. But that was not. Even if they are a Christian, you see that's the ramification. Right? And it brings pain. And then finally, though, we know that death was conquered by Jesus Christ, right? Oh, we got to turn to this one. Can you find 1 Corinthians 15? 1 Corinthians 15 lays out this wonderful victory song for the Christian. You know, after 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the resurrection, right? The resurrection of Christ and then our resurrection and the mystery of how it's all going to be worked out. And you know the scripture, in a moment, what? In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the dead in Christ, what? Rise! Hallelujah. And so right after that, you got verse 54, 1 Corinthians 15, 54. You see that? When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what? Victory. Death is what? Swallowed up in victory. You don't see it anymore. It can't affect you. And it's like a whale coming in and taking a little fish. And you picture that big whale comes in and where's the fish? He's gone. So the Christ has taken death that looks so enormous to us. And he says, I've already got it covered. You see, the thing you dread the most, I just covered it. They killed me, but they couldn't keep me dead.
Amen.
They thought they had won.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They didn't realize they were just working into the plan.
Amen.
So that you now no longer need to fear what? Death.
Amen.
It's good.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. You see, you and I sit here in freedom. But the majority of Christians around the world face it every day. That's how they can face it. You may kill me this day, but you do not win. Is that good? You do not win. As a matter of fact, it's a really interesting philosophy about martyrdom. Mm-hmm. Martyrdom inspires those that are living.
Amen.
Right? Christ's life and death inspires us. Why? Because he was willing to die for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he says to you and me, you be willing to, unless you are willing to what? Deny yourself, take up what? Your cross and follow me, then you cannot be my disciple. Right? Okay, let's get back to the victory song. You got verse 55, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Christ Jesus. And every saint said, amen.
Amen.
That's right. We've got the victory in Christ.
Amen.
Victory in Christ. Amen. Victory in Jesus. The victory has been won. He's won it for us. And so, as you think about this, I want you to be mindful of this fact. This is how this all comes together. That God will eternally remove the source and the consequences of sin. What do you mean by that, Brother Willie? If you'll remember, back at the very first of Revelation 21, right after it says there's a new heaven and a new earth, and it says there's what? No more sea, right? And we talked about that because the sea is a picture, is a separation. It represents a turbulence and death. And so there'll be no more sea in the new earth. But he didn't stop there. He says also there'll be what? No more death, no more mourning, no more crying and pain in verse 4. Why? Because he's wanting us to see I'm removing those things. When I say I wipe away the tears from your eyes, I'm going to take away everything that causes them.
Yeah.
Right? And then he goes on to say there'll be no more sinners.
Uh-huh.
Right? No more curse and no more night. Now he's already showed us that there'll be no more Satan. He's already been thrown into what? In the previous chapter, into the lake of fire. Right? So God takes care of everything that causes us pain. Because God is thorough.
Yes, he is.
You know, one of the things that they want to do when they try to treat our bodies for cancer is they want to try to make sure they get every what? Cancerous cell. Because if you leave one, you're still in great danger, aren't you? One cancerous cell can kill you because it's going to, because it doesn't stop. It's like Lay's potato. It shouldn't be this.
Amen.
Shouldn't be this crass, but it's like that. It doesn't stay with just one.
Yeah.
Right? And so God is not going to leave anything that could ever make its way back to the old conditions. Isn't that good?
Yeah, yeah.
He's thorough.
Yes, he is.
Thorough.
Yeah.
And so when he says there won't be any mourning and death in the morning, you can trust him.
Yeah.
This is going to be so phenomenal that you're going to wonder. I think it's going to take all of eternity for it just to sink in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually here. Me.
Mm-hmm.
All of the people God passed over in my family.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't pass over me.
Yeah.
When I was doing the same things they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And sometimes worse.
Mm-hmm.
But he passed over them and didn't pass over me. And all I can do is say, thank you.
Yeah.
Your grace and mercy.
Yeah.
That's the reason I'm here.
Amen. Amen.
For by grace, what? You have been saved. That not of yourself. It's a what? Gift of God. So that none of us have anything to what? Boast about. Right? You looking forward to this?
Amen.
No more bills, no more pills, no more hospitals, No more dialysis. No more surgery. No more mortgages. No more taxes and insurance payments. You ready for this? No more arguments. No more divorces. No more immorality. No more wrecks. No more shootings. No more prisons. No more funerals. No more lying. No more stealing. No more break-ins. No more abortions. No more injustice. Right? Everything and everyone is holy. Everything and everyone is good. Everything and everyone is righteous and perfect. Everyone is loving and joyful. Can you fathom everyone is peaceful? Everybody wants your best. And you want their best. What kind of place is this? This is the new heaven and the new earth. All of the old has what? Passed away. People don't think that way anymore. This is wonderful. People are faithful and thankful. They do what they say. Perfect peace. Perfect praise. Perfect worship. Perfect adoration. Perfect service. Perfect motivations. Perfect intentions. Perfect thoughts. Perfect words. It's going to be perfect. Because God is going to make it so. Don't you want to go?
Amen.
Need to be sure.
Yeah.
Make your calling. What? An election? Sure. It's not a game.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
This is not a game. Now, I know we've enjoyed talking about this today, but if you want this to be your future, you have to do what God says. And it's not going to church. It's not paying tithes or giving or serving in the ministry. You have to come to Christ.
Yeah.
First, now, after you come to him, if you love me, Jesus said what? You keep my commandments. Well, then you serve him after you come to him. Don't serve him and try to please him to get right with him.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Do it his way.
Yeah.
And this will be your future.
Amen.
Yes?
Yeah.
God is going to make all things new for his glory and for our good. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, we must take these truths and embrace them in life with hope. These truths are given to us so that you and I can face our life and face your, not my race. I got to run my race. You got to run yours.
Amen.
These truths are given so that you can run your race with what? Hope.
Yeah.
Because this is our future. We know that the sufferings of this present age, the suffering of this present time, are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. We know that. We're not guessing about that. The Bible makes that clear. You say, I'm going through so much, that's not worthy of comparison to the glory that awaits you. Right? We know that even the worst of circumstances that we have to do in this life is considered what? Light, momentary afflictions. And it's not worthy of the weighty things that are coming in glory. Christian, this is what we know. This is not what we think or what we feel. You must know this. It'll anchor you when your house is shaking. When your circumstances are reeling and rocking, it'll anchor you when your job closes up. When you don't understand this. You got to have an anchor. You can't be talking about what you feel or what I said. What I said won't hold you. You got to know it for yourself. Or if you will, you need to know him for yourself. Right? Jesus said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. You need to know him. He will anchor you. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
He'll anchor you. Like Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and all the other saints. We're looking forward to the city who has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Right? You remember that? Hebrews 11. Abraham, though he made it to this dirt that was called Canaan, the Bible said he knew there was something more. Now, you and I, we may not have done a whole lot, but we've had some successes in life, right? God has blessed us, but you and I certainly shouldn't think this is it. Right? There's so much more. And we're looking forward to this place, this city, whose designer and builder is God. We all desire a better country. Hebrews 11 says, a heavenly one that God has prepared for us. And here's the truth. Jesus has secured this new heaven and this new earth for us with his life, with his death, and with his resurrection. It is guaranteed for everyone in Christ. You good?
Yeah.
This is a guarantee. Therefore, we must live for him. What? Who died for us. Live for him who died for us. Get it? Live for him who died for us because you want this. This is your future. Right? We must deny ourselves daily and be faithful ambassadors for Christ in our homes. Faithful ambassadors for Christ in our community. Faithful ambassadors for Christ in the workplace. Faithful ambassador for Christ in the schools. Faithful ambassador for Christ when you're shopping. Faithful ambassador for Christ when you're exercising. Faithful ambassador for Christ when you're walking out to that mailbox to get surprise out of there. Faithful ambassador for Christ when your neighbor tore up your lawn or messed up this thing. Faithful ambassador for Christ when somebody on the job is in your face. Faithful ambassador for Christ when they passed over you. When you know you were most qualified, a faithful ambassador for Christ. We must live for him, what? Who died for us, because this isn't it. This is not it. This is what? Light? Momentary affliction. And here's the thing. You know, I hear right terminology to say the best is yet to come, but we can't even compare. This can't even be compared to what's to come. No. So yeah, it's best and it's way better, but this is so tainted that we can't fully fathom how wonderful it's going to be. So keep living, my brother, my sister. Keep living for him. This life, whether you live many years or few, this life will soon be over. You know, there's a song, soon and what? Very soon. I'm what? Going to see the King. Is that true for you? Now, soon and very soon, you're going. But the question is, are you going to see the King? And then when this life is over, we'll know that our living and serving is not in vain when we finally hear Jesus say what? Well done. You know it, don't you? Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little thing. I'm going to set you over much. Come and enter the joy of your master.
Yeah.
Don't you want to hear that?
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Well done. Well done. What wonderful words. Because you know if Jesus said it, he means it. Other people called you all kind of stuff and did all kind of things to you. But what you want to hear, let them talk.
Yeah.
What you want to hear is what? Well done from the lips of him that matters. Yes? Do not grow weary in your well-doing. All of us are in some testy, difficult situations. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Persevere. You say, well, I don't know if I can, Willie. Yeah, you can. If you're a Christian, you can and you will, because you've got the Holy Spirit in you who promises to help you make it to the end. Isn't this good?
Amen.
So it's not dependent upon my strength.
Yeah, come on,
it depends upon his strength, right? And if you're not a Christian and you have not experienced this miracle of the new birth, then you're not ready for the new heaven and the new earth. If you die without experiencing this new birth, then you won't go here. But if you're here today and you know you're not a Christian, you can change all that.
Yeah.
You see, it doesn't take God long to work a miracle. There were cases where somebody was dead. Jesus went in and they were alive. Lazarus was dead in the tomb for 3 days. Jesus went there and what? Said, Lazarus, what? What did he do when Jesus said, come forth? Right? Jesus went to a wedding and they ran out of wine and they had nothing but water. The people were fussing and arguing, and the mother said, what? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And Jesus turned what? Water to wine. Did it take him long? If you're not a Christian, God can work that kind of miracle in you today. But you must believe. You must believe him that he can save you. Father, would you work here? This day, in the midst of these, your people. And would you do it for your glory and for our good? And would you help those who know Christ here today to resolve in our own hearts to be steadfast and immovable and always abounding in your work and your labor until you come? Thank you for securing the new heaven and the new earth for us. Thank you for making a way for us to be there with you. And now, meet us as we work out these truths in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.